Leafs talk, JD Bunkus, Sam McKee. Leafs win, first five game winning streak of the season. They beat the Philadelphia Flyers. I got a ton of anxiety on the YouTube because I just ate a kale salad and I'm like, it's in my teeth. I'm going to have a green dot. I'm going to get green dotted tonight.
Holy Mr. Bragg had a kale salad. I had a heaping bowl of ice cream in the third period. No, just Kawartha black, blue thunder. I don't know, some chocolate thing. It's unbelievable. So no. You had a kale salad out of ice cream. That pretty much explains our relationship.
It's dry January where I'll still drink, but less than the 2 weeks.
My dry January is I'm not drinking except for Mondays at hockey. That's the only drinks I'll have is Monday at hockey, but I'm not playing hockey without, you know, beers. So Monday nights is my night. A couple beers after hockey. That's my dry January.
I do love the modified dry January. Yeah. I'm a big modified dry January.
Damp January.
Yeah. Listen, my dry January is like, hey, I'm not going to drink unless there's something fun.
Yeah. Something really good comes up. College football this week looking pretty good.
Yeah. It's like that Shane Gillis joke about his dad where he's like, well, I was watching football. What am I going to do? There's no football on. All right. The Leafs win. They get 3-2. Game winner by Matthew Knies. Got a fun one tonight. Didn't start that way. This was about as bad as the first period that you're going to see from the Maple Leafs. They had their first five game win streak of the season. And it also coincides with a game where they took the longest for them to register a shot. I think it took them 14 minutes before they got one puck to the net, which is all they registered in the first period.
Yeah. I really, it's hard to diagnose and come on here a lot and try to figure out what happens to the Leafs. But like, this is the mentor's trip. They went out last night.
They drank
like,
with Joe Thornton.
They got banged up last night. Like, I'm sorry. Like, there's really no other explanation for how they played in that first period. Like, I really do think they tightened up from there on out. And towards the end of the game, they started to get gassed and they started giving up chances again. But from like the start of the second until probably about 5 minutes left in the third, they really did clean it up. Mm-hmm. But that first period, they were not ready to play a game of hockey. Except for, of course, our sweet boy, Connor Dewar, who was ready to play a game of hockey. But Joseph Woll, too. But, yeah, like, there's no real explanation here in terms of, like, systems or what. This is a very human. These guys went out for a huge dinner with all the mentors last night. And there was a couple bottles of expensive wine passed around at that dinner. And Joe Thornton was buying rounds. And then they got up and played a game of hockey on the road. That's what happened in the first game.
Guaranteed. I feel like the dude went to bed early. He was like, I'm shutting it down.
The dude was like, I got to go to bed early, baby.
The dude knew what he was going to do. And he tried to get the team reinvigorated. He's like, hey, everybody wake up. Like, I saw you guys in the dressing room before this game. I saw you guys, you know, skating around, taking shots. The dude knew, and the dude needed to go out there and set the tone, and that's exactly what he did. But to your point about, like, the mentor's road trip, 100% they went out. Look at that. That's a hungover Joe Thornton.
Yeah, he's so – he is. I know that look.
Yeah, I've been there. But I was thinking about this. I've always had the take of if you could ever – like, you and I both have the same Joe Thornton take, right? Like, didn't work out here in Toronto. He's got a pretty famous clip where Sheldon Keefe has got the leadership group together during the COVID season, during the all or nothing, where he's really trying to reiterate some of the important messages that ended up coming back and biting the team. And Joe Thornton's like undermining him in the meeting with like, it's not a big deal. Like,
no, we're in first place.
Yeah. We're in first place. Like the ultimate rest on your laurels moment, which kind of embodied
which totally changed my perception of a Hockey Hall of Famer for the rest of my life.
And it was devastating because I think you and I were leaders of the like, oh my God, wouldn't it be great to have Joe Thornton charge here for many years.
Yep.
Devastating, didn't work out, did change the perception, had a couple of moments, but ultimately unsuccessful. Like, I don't think that he left Toronto having, you know, really any big fans of his time here, right? Like, he didn't leave here like a super popular player, a missed player. But that being said, I've always had this take about, hey, which pro athletes would you really want to party with? And like, I've always said Shaq would be the number one guy, where it's like, you be with Shaq, it's the best time. Biggest guy, every room he's going into, he's filling it up. He's having the best time. Big DJ. And then I thought tonight, seeing that mentorship and just you talking about that now, can you imagine how lucky those like family members of the team felt?
Yeah.
getting a party with Jumbo Joe, who's just fired up to get in one.
Bobby McMahon's sister's like, how did I end up here? This is the best thing ever. Bobby McMahon was in the ECHL 2 years ago, and now him and his sister are partying with Joe Thornton.
Best time ever. Got to be one of the top picks of all time in terms of who you would want to have at the mentor's trip, dinner and drinks.
Absolutely. So, I get it. And listen, they still found a way to win. Joseph Woll was brilliant. They got some timely goals from their big boys here. Tavares scores a power play goal. Marner with a beautiful setup for Matthews and a Matthew Nyes tip in front of the net. They still find a way to win. But yeah, they weren't at their best in that first period. But I think both, do you want to move into things that we loved about the game or didn't like about the game?
I actually want to dig in on the Duehr fight a little bit because I was actually super impressed by it. We're starting with, I love it. It's like Austin Matthews is back and his line ripped it up and Matthew Nyes is on an absolute heater. And it's just like, I got to start with the dude. I love this so much, dude. This is what Ryan Reeves should have done when he got his opportunity. Connor Duehr, we say it all the time, Paw Manitoba. If you know anybody from there, you know they are tough as nails. And this dude knows how to chuck them. He's smaller and he's looking out, he's using his body leverage. And those rights he's getting in, sharp, accurate, purposeful rights. Loved this fight from Connor Duehr. Had a full stand up off the couch moment and then rushing to get to Twitter to get off the worst tweet of all time. Just Duehr is the man.
I was like, the dudes, you and added you. I was just like, I need it.
But this is what you and I talk about, man. Is like, it's still got a place in the game. Sorry for the crybabies. Good fight, cool. And I'll never apologize for it. This was a good fight.
Great in the chat here from JH117. Duehr was watching old country for old men before sleep. it's a great I like that. It's an excellent movie and it really feels like just the look on his face. He definitely loves that movie. It's his favorite movie of all time for sure. Anyways, I just, like you said, for a smaller guy, knows how to fight and picked his spot so perfectly on those last two hammer rights where it looked like he was kind of down and out, right? And he's like, I'm waiting for my spot. I'm waiting for my spot. And bang, bang, two right over the top, stunned Farabee. Duehr ends up going down. But we joked about the check the game notes thing with McCabe. This is like check the game notes where he's from. Oh, he's from the pods. He's, what is he, 5'9"? I can take this guy.
He's walking off. He's like, damn. He's impressed. Yeah. Anyway, Duehr stock up. Duehr's the man. That's the tweet. That's the quote. That's where we're starting with this thing.
Yeah. And listen, this is a perfect thing to go into here now because we're talking about fighting. And I thought the guys on Sportsnet did an incredible job before the game in the pregame show, teeing up what an incredible old rivalry the Leafs and Flyers used to be. And throughout my youth, and you too were the same age, Flyers were a top three hated team. The Flyers and the Leafs had so many battles, so many wars. It's just, there's a lot of history there. So they were teeing it up because of the whole Reeves-Hathaway thing. And I got to tell you, it's insane they didn't fight. It's insane that they didn't fight. I really can't sit here and tell you what the purpose of having Ryan Reeves on the Toronto Maple Leafs is if he's not going to seek out, initiate, get the gloves off, and grab Garnet Hathaway and give him no choice. You have to give him no choice. The reason you started tonight was to not, rush the puck up or try to break out. It's to get the gloves off and fought the guy that took out one of your best defensemen, and he didn't even really look at him funny. He flew by him once by the bench and went off. I can't believe that they did not fight tonight, man. I'm disgusted by it.
Well, and for those of you that are like, what's he supposed to do, take a penalty? It's like, what he did was be on the ice for a goal against, as we thought the guy who injured that player ended up not getting the goal, but for a split second there, you thought that Hathaway actually got it. There's a moment, you're right, right by the bench where someone's kind of trying to talk trash to him. I can't remember who it was exactly, and he's not engaged, goes to the bench. And I tweeted this, and I don't even feel bad about it, but it's like, this guy's retired, man. He's retired. He's not a fighter anymore. He's not a top heavyweight in the NHL. You can't have no fights at this point of the season, be a dash every single night, be playing 6 to 7 minutes. Tonight, I think he was even less than that. Have one real purpose left. He rattles the boards from time to time, and he can go in on a forecheck, but we've seen the fourth line well without him. They're better. They're better without Ryan Reeves playing hockey games. He had one purpose tonight, and that was to bring a little bit of attitude, a little bit of spice to the game. to bring some type of justice, if you want to put it that way, to Hathaway in a blood feud, old school rivalry against the Philadelphia Flyers. And I know he's played the Flyers a million times, so it's probably not even like that special to him, but it's like a guy you never fought, who you've had run-ins before, and now you got an excuse and a reason and you don't take one. You're retired. Just hang him up because it's over for you.
I'm really, yeah. Like you said, perfectly said. I don't know how much more there is to really say on it, but you know, if it's the first period of the game and you got to take an instigator, or you got it, like something happens, you get a 10-minute, like, get the gloves off, make him look like, make him turn down the fight.
Yeah.
Like make him, I can't, like, they broke up what was a really effective fourth line with Dewar, Kampf, and Lorenz to change the lineup around. They moved Lorenz up the lineup because they really wanted to have this, you know, Lorenz was really good tonight. We can talk about that a little bit later, but the
one roster pass he made was terrific.
They broke up a really good line to shoehorn you in here for a very specific reason, and it didn't get done. And now, like, you have to, I don't know, you'd sit for a couple of games.
I just don't, like, again, weeks. He's obviously not on the playoff roster, but yeah, mm-hmm. I don't, like, you and I defended the contract when it happened. We were like,
oh my God, I was so excited about it. I was so excited about it. And listen, last year he fought all the heavyweights last year. He fought Rempe last year. He fought that O'Brien last year. He fought Foligno last year. He fell over trying to fight Jack Guy last year. He had, what do you have, 6 or 7 fights last year? Last year, you could defend his presence on the team, even though it wasn't very good. You could defend it because he was going the heavyweights. He was getting into it. He was responding physically with fights as, like, that's his role. And that just has not been there. It's January. It's the year 2025, and he has not fought. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's some weird point here. Listen, man, I acknowledge, like, it always feels strange being like a different time, being like, you got to fight, you know, like,
no, I know,
got to go do it. And especially since, like, yeah, there's no way that you and I would ever tussle with a guy like Hathaway, or, you know, ever have the guts to have the kind of career that Reeves has had. I just think it's pretty clear that it's not in his interests at this point. Like, he's not chasing it. He's not looking for it on any given night. And I just think, like, it is, again, office baseline. What is it you say you do here? And if your only role is once or twice a game on the forecheck, you try to throw the body on somebody in their own zone.
Yeah.
It's just not good enough for me. And it's, yeah, even for the money he's making, it's like, it's the roster spot, it's the money, it's all of it. It's just like, sorry, man, it's over. Like, it's over and done with. Yeah. The Matthews line was spectacular tonight. We got to go there next because, again, first period, complete debacle. Marner had a turnover.
Good word for it. That pass Marner made on the power play, the through the legs breakout pass to the other team.
Yeah, for a breakaway.
I was sour at that. That was not good at all. And then, of course, it's Garnet Hathaway on the breakaway, and you're like, oh my God. Yeah. And then he Garnet Hathaway's it.
Yeah, it was great. He Garnet Hathaway'd it so Garnet Hathaway.
Like, he looked up for 1 second. He's like, oh, what the hell? Like, I mean, like, he just completely, that's a McKee Beer League breakaway right there. But just not a pretty play by him. But yeah, the power play was horrible. It was a momentum sapper in the first period where it's just, they get 2 and you were hoping they had 0. They couldn't get anything going. Is ugly, but, like, outside of that first period, you're right, the high paid guys in this team took the game over. Like, every shift they had was a physical cycle, chances, winning puck battles. Like, they had that one in the third period. I don't know how long they were in the offensive zone. They must have been in the zone for 1:10. Even Simmer brought it up. He's like, how many puck battles they win on that shift? 5? 6 along the end boards, hacking it out, just getting it to the front of the net, passing it around, cycling. This line is maybe the best in the NHL right now. Like, they are really, really, really good. And it's just so good to see Matthews look effective again. So good.
Well, I was going to say, there's a couple moments where you see Matthews and you're just like, wow, he's healthy. Yeah. And one of them is the little drag move that he makes.
Yeah.
Like, just like, and you're like, oh damn, like, he's feeling creative again. You're starting to see him just really look like him old self. And to your point about, like, the puck battles and the wins, that's one of the most impressive things about those two guys together, and having Knies as the third dude with them. Yeah. And I'm sorry, but it is different than when it was the Michael Buntings of the world or other different iterations. Like, now you have three guys who are just a problem on your defensemen, and they all do it. Well, not, I guess Matthews and Marner don't really do it in materially different ways, because both guys are like, they're turning you over with their stick and they're using body position. But to have Knies out there too, where he is playing more reckless, where he is just, you know, thumping guys. And then the two of them are just stripping pucks and then starting those cycles again. It's a nightmare because that's what happens. You can be the Flyers tonight and all of a sudden you're stuck in your own zone for a minute, just sucking air, trying to get back to the bench going, what the hell just happened? Didn't we have the puck three times? And it's like, you didn't get it out. So no, awesome game for them. Matthews looks healthy. Marner was awesome again tonight after the first period. And yeah, nice. Now, do you want to know a stat that kind of blew my socks off? That Christian Chinetti, a guy, an intern on my show, has done this show as well. He's texting during the show. Nice is now tied for second in even strength goal scoring this season.
With
the entire NHL.
Really?
Yes. 14 even strength goals. Yeah, doesn't that blow your mind?
It does blow your mind.
Second. Yeah, he's only behind Cole Caulfield, and Caulfield is 15. He's got 14.
Consider my mind blown, young man.
Yeah.
Good job, Christian. Hopefully that's right.
That's what I did. Look it up. Like, good job. Showing value, Christian. So I had to shout him out for that stat because he pulled it. I double-checked it on Natural Stat Trick, and it's true. He's tied with a couple of other guys.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he's still tied for second now in even strength goals. That one, that was his 14th of the season, even strength, 5-on-5. Bang, Matthew Nyes, number two in hockey. Crazy stat.
That's a crazy stat. And like this go-ahead goal in the third period is exactly what this line does for you, right? When they get it into the offensive zone with them, just with Matthews and Marner's skill, you get it out to the point, and then you just have, look at, like, and it's just a perfect win right off the draw. And then you have the cinder block go to the front of the net, and just, you can't move him from there. He's got a great stick. They were talking about it on the broadcast. He was working with O'Reilly on the tips when he was here. And how many tip goals is that this year? Is that five tip goals? They were showing him. He loves the tip goals. He's really good in front of the net. And guys just can't move him. He's a cinder block. And I give Craig Berube all the credit in the world where he came out in the media and said, we need more from this guy. We need him to be reckless. We need this. We need that. And credit to the young guy, totally responded. Like, ever since that game on New Year's Eve where he gets denied the goal on the goalie interference, right? Give him full credit because he's just really, really responded to that. And he's been excellent since then. So,
yeah, agree.
That line's pleasant.
Some of it is obviously Matthews coming back.
Of course.
And him getting the opportunity to go back up the lineup and play the minutes and do those things. But yeah, you're right. He did technically, he scored a disallowed goal in the Islanders game right before Matthews came back. And yeah, he looks like right back to his old self. Just as people like you and I were starting to have conversations like, hey, what's up? Is it too many minutes? Is he hitting a wall? Is it January lull? Blah, 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 blah. Gets back with Austin Matthews. He's the same self. And yeah, you're right. That line is just dominant and doing it in like pretty much every single facet where it feels like there's highlight reel plays. Like even Nyes is trying it out now, right? Like how many of these has he had now where it's like a highlight reel goal or a highlight move that he's trying to make? Like they're playing with a ton of confidence. They all fit together. It's really working. You want to do another positive or another negative? Where do you want to go next?
Well, we'll go back and forth here. We'll go negative. Is it time now for, after he called out Matthew Nyes, is it time for a Willie Nylander call out time?
Well, when you said all the top paid guys were great tonight,
I'm at the top line
for sure. But
I misspoke.
So I asked the guys to grab a couple of clips from the first period, but it feels a little harsh because these are like during the period where the team,
everyone was awful,
really bad. But I just thought there were a couple moments where it's just like he doesn't fully have his game. Like we know William Nylander to be like a guy that things don't really get to him, but I felt like, yeah, maybe he's like, he's pressing a little bit right now. Like he doesn't look comfortable. He looks like a guy who might be in his head a little bit, which is a weird thing to say about him.
Here's what I'll say about it. I mentioned this on Kipper and Bourne. I'll say it here again. This is the parallel that I draw. It's a cross sport one. You know, we love our cross sport parallels. He is reminding me so much right now of like a third baseman who's like a slugger who's taking his defense, taking his slump at the plate into the field. And like, like he's overthrowing first base. He can't pick it. He's making errors out there. He's taking his offense to the field where he's just a non-factor. Like he's not moving. He's not moving his feet. He's not winning puck battles defensively. He's not coming back. He's just carrying it badly out there. It's just not, the body language is off. You know, it's easy to say when somebody's not playing well, like, oh, is he hurt? Is he injured? Like, is there something going on with him that he's not feeling right?
I don't think any of that.
It's just, it's been a while here now since he's been effective. So, I mean, we did this after the last game and we don't need to do it every night, I guess, but just another night where one of your
highest paid guys. It's a post-game show, and he wasn't good tonight. Like, he was notably not good.
So I don't know. He's carrying it bad out there. His body language is no good. And they tried to move Bobby McMahon up to that line to give him a little bit more pace on the other side of the ice. And I thought Bobby McMahon was good tonight. Thought he was moving up and down the ice. Thought he was effective. But you need, I mean, he's the straw that stirs the drink on the second line. You need him. And he was not there again.
Totally agree. Good night for Joe Woll, I thought. Because, yeah, you and I were wondering if the workload was going to be a little bit too much. And, I just thought that he was solid in that again tonight, especially late, like made a bunch of, like, you know, quality saves. Good night for Woll. Back to being steady. Solid night for him.
Yep. Really good in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It's like where they really needed him. They were clearly out of gas. They take the penalty and they need him on that power play. He makes that great save coming across on Konechny, who, by the way, Konechny, really happy he's on Team Canada. Yep. God, he was popping for them tonight.
Had the same thought tonight.
I thought he was excellent. Like really, really effective. Sanheim, I'm really trying to watch him, but like, I'm really having a hard time noticing him. There's that one point at the end of the ice where he at the end of the game where he skated the puck up the ice and he's clearly a beautiful skater, right-hand shot. Like
looks
you see
the part.
He looks the part. He's just a really big, great moving defenseman. But yeah, man, that Konechny looked great. Woll just solid. Another, starting goalie type win for them. Needed him at the end of the game. Thought he was really good. Didn't love the first goal, if I'm being totally honest. Didn't think he really fought too hard to find it. It goes in. You're kind of like, oh boy, a little worried about the
screen, but I agree with you.
Yeah, didn't fight that hard to find it. Just kind of was a little bit small in his net. It ends up going in. But yeah, really good night for him.
Big in the first, though, too. Like, the first goal was not great, but it's like, yeah, at least what they finished the period outshot, I think, 10-1.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, no, he was still there for them, gave him a chance to settle into this game, didn't give up like that one again. You're right. I kind of want him to have it.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's a bit of a nitpicky one, considering that it is screened.
That's the standard he's given us now.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you're really good. You expect him to make that save. I will say, do we have that miss by who missed at the end there? If you can roll that. Was it Tippett that missed at the end?
Yeah, I was positive it was Tippett.
If we could roll that, is one of the worst. Like, he gets bailed out big time here. It's a great play where the puck comes across and he has no chance. Maybe we're stuck in a pack here or whatever. But like, he had literally zero chance on that. And I will say that it was harder to miss. It was harder to miss on that play. Like, he had a gaping cage. He was sitting right at the side and he shoots it right through and he looks to the sky. It's an NHLer. Yeah. Here we go. If you're watching on Sportsnet, I think it's coming up here, but if you're watching, like, just shoot it in the net. And it's so hard. It's such a hard game. This guy's been the best at every level he's ever played against the NHL. He's a wide open net and he shoots it through the crease. It's just brutal. Just brutal.
This is a long Woll pack. You guys really liked Woll. You save all of his saves?
Okay, here we go.
This is every one of them tonight? Yeah. For the YouTubers. For the YouTubers. But they all watch it. It was right at the end of the game.
That's such a
By the way, too, I got to say this, man. Another quality night for Benoit.
Yes, man.
Really impressive stuff.
Yeah. His partner had a bit of a tough play on the second Konechny goal where he couldn't make a decision. He gets it stripped and it ends up in the back of the net and Timmins. But Benoit was really good again, physically and Russian again. We got to call this guy Guy Benoit.
He's feeling it. But man, that one play he made tonight on Tippett, again, who's one of the fastest guys in all of hockey, doesn't take a penalty, just like pivoting his hips, makes a play with the stick, gets it off into the corner. I went, if you would have told me that he was going to, like, you freeze frame that scenario, I was like, what's going to happen here? I'm like, oh, he's taking a penalty. Like, he's going to butcher him and take him down. He didn't. Like, he just looks like a guy who's playing in control and just finding himself, man. I'm two games in a row where I'm just extremely impressed by Simon Benoit. Anyway, not so much with Timmins. That turnover was awful. And I think it's pretty clear the writing's on the wall that Timmins' Leafs run is like, it's going to get harder and harder for him to get ice time.
Should I ask Show to grab that highlight of Benoit making the play on Tippett? The thing I love about it is he didn't panic.
Because he
pulled it into the middle and he beat him on the toe drag, but he just waited for him to arrive at his feet, knocks the puck away, puck goes into the corner and engages him physically, rubs him right out of the play, and it was over.
Easiest thing to do there would just be take a penalty.
Yeah,
like,
he didn't.
No one would have blamed you. It would have been like, hey, it's Owen Tippett. He's coming down on you. You made a panic play. No biggie. I thought it was just an elite moment for him.
And here's the real test of like how much he means to me watching the Leafs. He had that awkward fall when Michkov kind of bumped him at the end of the game, where he like kind of hit his face towards the dashers, and it was kind of a nasty fall.
Yeah.
I was like, oh no. Like, I had this feeling of they cannot lose him. Like, to me, right now, in terms of like stock up, stock down, he's a really important guy on this team. Like, what did he end up playing tonight? It really felt like they leaned on him. I'm trying to pull.
They have been leaning on him.
He played 16:43, which is probably more than he usually plays. So
yeah, good for him. Yeah, no, playing well. Good for him. And yeah, Timmins down at 12:38. And like I said, I just don't think that the way it's kind of a shame, because it really did look like he unlocked something and was like playing like a new man, and maybe he finds it again. But it feels like we're back to the same thing with Timmins, which is he's fine when he's your eighth defenseman, not your seventh and not your sixth.
Yeah, correct.
So that's all I have to say on that. Anything else for you?
No, I'm good. I'm good. I just was going to praise Lorenz. Yeah, I mentioned it earlier in the show. But he was flying tonight. He was really physical. Every chance he gets, finished every check, makes a great read on the play where Bobby McMahon does that like head high moon saucer, and he knocks it down with his hand, gets it up to his blade, makes a good move. Goalie just makes a good save on him. But I got to tell you, of approval ratings for players on the Leafs, I think he might have the highest approval rating. Like, it's just a classic Leaf fan guy to love. That's just minimum wage guy that exceeds expectation, passionate, good smile, hammers guys. Like, he's at a central casting for Leaf fans to love. But he's been really good this year. He's been an awesome signing. And again, I thought tonight he was awesome. Deserved to bump up the lineup. He's been really effective.
Last thing for me is just simply how badly the Leafs needed that power play goal from Tavares.
Oh my God. So did Savvy.
It was, well, you know, I will say this about these guys, like, because, you know, we always know who the power play coach is, but isn't there something to be said for that?
What do you mean?
Like, you know who the power play coach is of the Leafs.
Yes.
Because it's a consistent issue.
Yes, correct.
So I'm like, it's hard for me to be like, hey, Savvy, figure it out, when you've had multiple iterations of guys run the power play and we've been here before. Like, it actually reminds me a little bit of Jay's hitting coach stuff, where people are like, God, you got to fire the hitting coach. This guy,
they had to create six new positions to try to figure out how the Blue Jays to hit.
That's,
like, they
that's
were
what
like,
I mean. It's just
offensive court. They have an offensive coordinator.
Yeah. The Leafs power play looks like the same Leafs power play, like, for the most part, all the time.
Yeah. They're not good passers. It's some Kipper hammers all the time. Is that they, I think he might even hammered it in the intermission. They don't pass well. Like, none of these guys, like, I don't know what it's like. Marner's a great passer. And then outside of that, Willie's like he's okay, but he wants to shoot it. You know, Riley is, he's okay, passer and he's shooter. Like, not a whole lot there offensively in terms of the power play. He's never been great on the power play. And, you know, Tavares isn't an elite passer. They don't pass it. They just are not a good passing team. And it's just one and done. There's not a lot of puck battles won. Like, the recipe for shutting them down is pretty easy, right?
That's so, what I mean. It's just like when we do the hot seat coaches, like when we talk about them, we're like, oh, we got to get it. I'm like, I don't know. What's the hot shot right now is the American coach, David Carl, right? Like, David Carl is the hottest new thing. Let him run it. Like, I don't care. I get you. You know what I'm going to guess? That's going to be those five guys out there just breaking it around and somehow, some way, just underwhelming you. Like, it just, it is what it is. I've talked to a billion people around hockey about it. Like, everybody kind of comes up with a couple of minor different answers, but it's like, ultimately right now, I think they're 18th in the NHL, but just felt like, God, they were at the point where I was like, God, you need one. So it's not a major talking point.
Hey, their penalty kill, great though.
Yeah, their penalty kill awesome.
Again tonight, really good. Yeah. And a lot of that has to do with getting a lot of saves. So there's that matters, but it has been good. And they seem to have a lot of personnel, that are good on it. I don't
burp out all that ice cream, eh?
No, I was. I don't know what the hell that was. That was a bodily function that I'm not sure what it was.
Burp. Yeah.
No, it wasn't the burp. Yeah. I don't know. I gotta go see a doctor. Oh,
the ice cream burp.
It was garlicky, and it was a weird one.
Oh, anyways. Yeah, you probably what you ate before that huge bowl of ice cream. Anyway, yeah, they needed it. Anything else from you?
No, I'm good, bud.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening.
I forgot to
wow. I love this. How you cut it. We were getting out of it. And show was like, yeah, I cut this. I'm not letting
this
you
is great.
Show.
Sorry, I forgot. I completely forgot.
Show, hold on a second though. Show, you don't decide. Okay.
This is an amazing role.
Show, this is like you just think you just get to make this executive decision to just roll the thing that we don't set you up for. We were ending the show, buddy. It was over.
But how about Mike Johnson in there fighting? Yeah. Danny McCarthy, I love it. Got Craig Berube, the coach of the Leafs. This is, you know, this is what should have happened tonight. Would have loved to see this. Yeah. But God.
And Danny McCarthy, I forgot about him until these clips tonight. And I was like, what a terrifying guy that was.
Scary guy. And look at
this. Scary guy. Boogeyman
flying around. Double.
Yeah, double. Domies. Dude, so good. Second man in, Domi just trying to stumble in those shots, too. Like, not quitting is amazing. I love it. Like, I truly love it. Oh, he's turtled. The Domi's still doing it. Skates around. Gaverley uses him as a human shield. So good.
The like, last guy that ever wants to be in a fight, Gaverley.
Yeah.
Domi is just a tear. Man, I miss hockey.
Awesome. Awesome.
Oh, and Craig's pointing. Yeah. I will say, watching this brawl, it warms my heart that that guy's the coach of the Leafs.
No question. You know?
Just that this mutant from back in the day who just used to beat the brakes off everybody
absolutely
is just killer. Now the coach of the Leafs. It just look really warms my heart.
Flyers, though. That's the thing I do like about Philly having Torts.
Yeah.
Is like
identity.
Yeah. It's just like, I hope it always stays a part of the Flyers. Like, as much as the game is changing, like, I like that they have the Hathaways and the Lawtons and that's just like part of who they always need to be. It's a very cool thing in sports, and I will be sad the day that
look at Danny McCarthy. Oh my God. Terrifying.
No, different league, bro. Yeah.
Is that Damon Lankow right out
like,
there?
Yeah, none of these guys. Yeah, like the skill and the game, like obviously it's changed drastically, but yeah.
And if you're not watching on YouTube and you're listening on Spotify, you gotta go watch YouTube to watch this brawl because it's so good.
It's
but
great brawl. I do love that Cujo got in the mix of it. Like, Domi won't go away still. Talking trash.
Miscavige. Hey, yeah, I got one request, too. If anyone from the Leafs is watching this, which they're definitely not, give me a throwback night to these jerseys. Like, these jerseys are perfect. Like, perfect.
Love these ones.
Perfect. The right, the numbers are so good. The leaf on the shoulder.
The shoulder is what gets me.
Go back to those. Anyways, now we're done. Hey, you got any other rogue clips to roll there, show?
Yeah, show what you want to jump on here and give us like your football takes or anything, like Mr. Producer, like okay. No, silence.
To be fair, I asked for that, and it was probably a lot of work to put it in, and I do feel guilty that I forgot about it.
That took 2 seconds. That took 2 seconds.
Whatever.
I don't know. But the producers are awesome. Thanks to Alex. Thanks to the show. Thanks for everybody for watching. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at JD Bunkus, at Sammy McKee. Reach out anytime. Leave a thumbs up on YouTube. Subscribe to the podcast. Do all those things, and we will see you Thursday.
And they seem to have a lot of personnel. Excuse me, that are good on it. I don't
burp out all that ice cream, eh?
No, like, I don't. No, I was. I don't know what the hell that was. That was a bodily function that I'm not sure what it was.
Burp,
No, it wasn't the burp. I don't know. I gotta go see a doctor.
Oh, the ice cream burp.
It was garlicky, and it was a weird one.
Oh, anyways. Yeah, you probably what you ate before that huge bowl of ice cream.